We don't do this often, and I just thought about this morning. I was like, I really appreciate and I enjoy the friendship, Craig, that we've had. I think maybe coming on staff, I get to see like his heart for this church. We get to lead together with Andrew as well as the elders of this church, and he leads our team. It's really incredible to see a man who's actually for this church, him and his family. And it's such a privilege to be on his team and to get to lead you guys together and trusting what God has for us. So I'm excited for what God has for us this morning. But again, it's just a vessel. But I appreciate the vessel that God uses. So, amen. Come on.
Well, thank you, Tex. Good morning, everybody. My name, as you heard, is Craig. Look forward to having a hot cross bun with you. I saw on the news. Have you seen on the news? Apparently somewhere, can't remember if it was the States or the UK, they decided that hot cross buns are politically incorrect. They nearly got it right, because instead they put a tick. So it's a hot ticked bun. I suppose it's Bible language, because you can say, tick, it's done. So Jesus said, they're just using his words. They've gone from a symbol to the words of Jesus. If only they knew, right? We have a pile, a whole bunch of ants here at Grace Cove. Did you know that? We have people, the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Hey, it says, even the ant knows to store up food in the winter. Grace Cove is full of ants. We have had so many people that have been busy working this weekend and up to this weekend. So I just want to say well done to all of you. We've had great fun. Friday morning, we had a wonderful morning. Friday night's backyard movie was super cool. It was great fun. The guys worked hard on that. Some of you guys came in extra hours. And yesterday morning's fun run was, in fact, that Fanny and Melissa actually was fun and a run. And there's still a whole pile of stuff in store for us this morning. So well done to everybody. The other thing that I wanted to say, let's see, is life groups coming soon. Watch this space. We'll tell you next week. But to watch this space, you'll find out more next week. And then Sunday coming, 7 days' time, we are going to 2 Sunday morning meetings, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Did you notice that? 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. And 9 o'clock to around just before 11, somewhere there. 9:30. Thank you, Andre, keeping me honest. 9 to 9:30 is coffee. We would encourage you to come early so you can have coffee with your mates that came to the first meeting. And the goal is that we're just making more space here at Grace Cove. So that's the idea. Next week, 8 o'clock. Look forward to seeing you there. Otherwise, 9 for 9:30. We'll kick the second meeting off at 9:30, but hopefully you will be full of coffee and happiness from seeing your friends. Do we have any? Let's just see. Right. Do we have any? What do you call those things? Tebs, your problem is affecting me. It seems. Hey, can I complain about English?
Yeah.
Hey, my time is what all my. Hey, I get it from all sides, I'm just saying. Like everyone. Rika told me her time was up on sometime during the week. Debs regularly says, hey, English. So I don't know, I think I can use the same excuse, I'm sure. Hey? Do you? Yeah, I run out of English and I am English. So, like, I don't know, hey? It's such a delight. I loved, I'm just trying to do 2 things at once. It's always a problem. I love the break of bread this morning. I love the picture of looking in Jesus' eyes. You know, one of the things I love about this church is that most of us do this family in our second language. I count myself kind of part of that because I didn't grow up in Gauteng, so I still feel like I'm just a visitor after so many years. I think we've been here 15 years. But I love the fact that, as these guys said, it's not an identity that holds us together. We have one identity, and that's found in Jesus Christ. Don't you love that? Do we have any medic alert bracelet wearers? Anyone with a medic alert? Right, one, two. Is that going out of fashion? It used to be everyone. Three. What's your name? Yvette. Come stand up here, please. Here we go. Have you got it on your arm? Let's see. Oh, gee, that's because you got a fancy one. My, they got fancier. Hey? Who's got one? Sandy, have you got that big one? What does yours look like? More like Yvette's. I can't. Yeah, looks a bit similar. Hey? Yours over there. Let me see. Just wave it. Okay, that looks big and shiny. I wish I could, like, focus, zoom in here, you know, do this on the screen. Do you guys remember, it used to be seemingly more popular, but you have to wear that every day. Can you take it off? It's possible that you...
But I don't. Well, in case something happens,
so
somebody can see, especially with my asthma.
Okay, so there's medication that you either need or shouldn't take.
There's allergies, there's asthma,
And is it written on there?
Yes, I've got it written on there.
She's fancy these days, huh? Do you guys remember the sign, the symbol for medical alert, for the medical profession? It's kind of, it looks a little bit like an S, and it's got a strap in the middle. Do you remember that? Thank you. It's on the thing still, even these days. Thank you. You know where that comes from? Talk about ticks on buns. In the Old Testament, the Israelites sinned against God. And God was so angry, he was going to punish them by death. And instead he says this. He tells Moses, he says, make a snake and put it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten can look at the pole and live. Now, you might think this is a weird story because God judged him by sending snakes into their midst, and many, many got bitten by the snakes and then died. But he said, you make that pole, you lift it in full sight of Israel. And if they look at the snake on the pole, the effects of the bite of the snake won't be permanent and they will live. It's amazing that we still carry that on our medical aid braces, on our medical profession today. It's amazing. They're outlawing the scriptures from all over. We, you know, schools and public spaces, you can't have, but look at your wrist for some of us. Yeah? You know the beautiful thing? The Bible says, as we heard this morning, that when Jesus was crucified on the cross, when our Savior was put on a pole, because that's what the Old Testament was pointing to, the ultimate Savior, that you and I, it says, death, where is your sting? The sting of death and the sting of sin is in us as human beings. But if we look to the cross, the work that Jesus did, as we heard this morning, takes away the threat of the sting of our sins. Isn't that beautiful? You know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, they put a sign above him. Do you remember that? Have you read that? Hey, and it says the King of the Jews. They were mocking him by saying that. The best part is it was in three languages. Those are the three major languages of the day. It was the equivalent of Twitter, TikTok, and whatever the Chinese version is. You know the Chinese have apps that we don't get in the West. And we think we, you know, whatever numbers, they outdo us. It's literally, it was the three most popular languages, most spoken languages in the world. The point is that if you looked at that, not only could you see the sacrifice, could you look in the eyes of Jesus, but you would be able to read it, chances are, in your own language or a language that you knew. God, through these unbelievers, was getting his message across. If you look at the pole, if you look at the snake on the pole, if you look at the Savior on the cross, same image, way back in the Old Testament, right to the New Testament, we heard of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And we celebrate it so many years later today. If you look to the cross, your sins are forgiven because of his work that he's done, as we heard again this morning. Not what we've done. All that we've done only makes it worse. All that he's done only makes it better. Isn't that beautiful? So cool. Yeah, it gets better than that. You go from there, it's end of the Gospels, into Acts, the beginning. Chapter 2 tells us that God, after waiting, because remember Jesus is waiting. I don't have time to preach this morning. He told them to wait so that the Holy Spirit would come. And then Peter gets up with the 12. I love that image. Talk about team preaching. Peter gets up with the 12 and he preaches the gospel. Today we call it Pentecost. I preached about it last week. Today we call it Pentecost, and it says everybody in that city. It was like Christmas on the beach in Margate. You can hear every language that you can choose. Very few of them in a Margate accent, I must say. Peter stands up to preach the gospel. And the people from all over the Roman Empire, because they come for census, they come to celebrate, they are amazed. They said, we hear these people speaking in our language. It's so cool. God, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, goes through the effort of finding a way to make it possible so that you and I are close. He gets the rubbish out of the way.
Yeah.
He says, you've sinned, that's fine. Oh, we can push that aside. You can't understand, that's fine. We can push that aside. Maybe you can't even, like, you might need the words, but you don't know what they mean, that's fine. We'll give you a picture.
Yeah.
You don't get the picture, that's fine. We'll do a backup one. And no matter where you're from, you've got a spot here. You can see this clearly. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The work that Jesus did, that we celebrate this weekend, so that you and I get to see him clearly.
Yeah.
Take our hands off our eyes and see him clearly. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied because he nearly never really lived, they said. He never really died. Apparently Benjamin Franklin said, some people die at 25, but aren't buried until 75. Martin Luther King Jr. put it this way. He said, the cessation of breathing in this life is merely the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, he said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, and whoever will live, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? I could ask the same of you this morning. I was trying to think of a competing movie, James, that I could boast about this morning. But we'll move on quickly. I think James has forever got a new nickname. If you were around on Friday, you can know why. Hebrews chapter 12. I was listening to him on Friday thinking, man, some of the scriptures he read are in my notes for Sunday. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The NIV puts it this way. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Isn't that, like, I don't know if you read these verses during the year, but when you read them on a weekend like this, when we sing the songs we sung this morning, we sing those songs other times of the year. They're familiar to us. But man, when you sing them today, when you sing them this weekend, when you've been thinking about things a little differently, wow! Isn't it cool?
Yeah.
I was so chuffed because some of you guys love the Christmas carols and some of you hate them. Hey? I remember being in high school in a government school, shows you how long ago it was, in a government school, and we were noisy during assembly, so they said, that's it, you guys are going to come back at break time and we're going to punish you. You're going to have to sit in assembly in your rows and sing hymns as punishment. We'll see if you're noisy next time. Talk about punishing kids with church stuff, you know? Like, you're going to hate singing those hymns. Because every time you think, you're going to think, I was in trouble, I just sing hymns. Yeah? Now I'm getting myself distracted. Man. All of a sudden, the songs we sing take on new meaning, right? Hey, I've got a hymn for you just now. The New Living Translation says, Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith, the author and the perfecter of our faith, you may remember. Because of the joy waiting for him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. I would suggest to you, if you're a follower of Jesus, you will know shame from time to time. And Jesus looked at my shame. And he took my shame and it became his. So that I could not carry my shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't grow weary and give up. The Message strong paraphrase puts it this way. It says, keep your eyes on Jesus. That's always a goodie, right? You can't go wrong with that part. Who began and finished this race we're in. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed. I love that part. He never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And when you find yourselves, and now he's there in a place of honor, right alongside God. And when you find yourselves flagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item. That long litany of hostility he plowed through. That will shoot adrenaline into your souls. I would suggest to you that Jesus' last week looked different to the last week we've had. I don't know about you. It's a short week, right? And next week is a short week. That's code for 5 days' work in four or three days. And everyone gets excited about a long weekend. They're just tricking you. You do the same amount of work or more. And then they give you a day off. Right? Yeah? Okay. But I would suggest this morning that Jesus last week, running up to this weekend, looked different to yours and mine. Last Sunday, we were reminded, was the triumphal entry. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of the colt of a donkey. And Wes reminded us last week that the crowds on Sunday celebrated him and on Friday they said crucify him. The same people. On Monday, he cleared the temple. He walked in and they turned it into a bazaar, into a flea market, so that the Gentiles didn't have space to worship God. And he turned the tables upside down and emptied the temple. He said, you, my house should be called the house of prayer for all nations. The biggest point there, the take home, I always struggled to get past this point, forgive me. But the issue was that the outer courts were the only place Gentiles, non-Jews, were allowed to worship God in the Hebrew temple, right? It was the only place. God, even in the Old Testament, had made room for Gentiles. And probably most of us here this morning would fit into that category. Yeah? And Jesus walks in there and he says they filled the space with a farmer's market. They were trading cash in the place where the Gentiles should be worshiping. And that unsettles Jesus. He said, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations. Anyone can come. You've just got to look to the cross. You've just got to look to that pole. You've just got to listen in your own language. Isn't that beautiful? And he gets angry and he turns it open and he makes space. And then on Tuesday, he's anointed. He's anointed by the sinful woman. And when they say, oh, this is such a lot of money that you're wasting, he says, hold on. There's one lady that you all look down and she's the only one that realizes Friday's coming and she's prepared me for it. Isn't that amazing? The labels, the logos. Ah, she's a simple woman. She shouldn't even be in. She wasn't invited to this meal. She should stay outside where she's bad. She's the only one of all of them that somehow responded to the significance of what we celebrate this weekend. Man, you are... On the one hand, I do care where you come from. And I'm sorry for your struggles. We all in this life probably have some bumps and bruises along the way. You might say, I've got more than others. Maybe you're right. But on the other hand, it does not matter. And I hope you can hear this. In one sense, I don't care where you come from. Jesus didn't care where that lady came from. It was irrelevant. He said, hey, let her come. She took this costly, the Bible says, ointment, perfume. Yeah. It was like her nest egg. It was like her savings, her Bitcoin. Yeah. Yeah. Except it held its value. She broke it and she poured it over his head. I mean, can you imagine doing that at a dinner party? Like, what about the tablecloth? You can imagine the host, like, everyone's getting, and the disciples, especially Judas, is like, yo, this is very expensive, you know. You're giving how much, are they? Hey? You're spending the church money on what? Hey? Jesus. Don't judge her. See what she's doing. In fact, if anyone should be judged, it's the guys around the table who missed the moment. Beautiful. Because of that, something gets in Judas' heart. This was like the camel, the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, people say, oh, so-and-so offended me. No, I disagree. I think we pick up an offense. If you're carrying offense today, it's because you picked it up. You know what? It takes less energy. It's easier to put it down equally. We know, because we read the end of the story, that Judas was in it for the bucks. We know his God wasn't Jesus. His God was his pocket. And when you touch someone's God, they manifest. We call them holy cows today. That's right. Holy cows. Don't talk about my holy cow. Eh? You guys don't know about the holy cows? What schools did you go to? Eh? I tell you. Something gets into his heart. Because Jesus is saying, I want the place of supremacy, not your stuff. And for another one around the table, it would have been something else. It's not one size fits all. We all have stuff. He picked up an offense and he went and he plotted against Jesus. How much money will you give me? Isn't it amazing? You know, sometimes the lady doth protest too much. Okay? We expose our hearts in our actions. What was it? It was the spending of wealth on what he thought was the wrong thing that caught him in the heart. And how does he respond? How much will you give me? You check? Same thing. Because it's the same hole in the heart. The water's leaking in that boat. It's the same hole. Anyway, Thursday brings us to Friday. Hey, this beautiful day that we celebrated. Thursday, he sits in Gethsemane. He wrestles with the Father. Father, if it's your will, can I skip? But not what I want, what you want. Remember his friends couldn't pray with him for an hour. Remember? He woke them up 3 times in 1 hour. Sounds like a parent. That day brings us to, they call it Holy Saturday. It's the dark day between Friday and Sunday. It's the day when they didn't know what was coming. Jesus had told them 3 days and I'll rebuild this temple. They weren't so sure. They thought Jesus was dead and buried, gone. Hey? And then Sunday the women come. They've got their stuff because they're going to prepare the body. He wasn't anointed properly. They were going to do a proper job. And they get to the tomb. The Bible says that huge stone's rolled away and they see an angel sitting there saying, he's not here, he's gone. So beautiful, hey, so beautiful. And they see the empty tomb, and the very first preachers, the very first evangelists that we told about in the Bible is the ladies, because they run and they tell the guys, hang on, man, we've got good news. Matthew chapter 27, please. Verse 57, it says, as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. And so he took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and he placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of it, in front of the entrance to the tomb, and then he went away. You see this poor guy, he comes along and he asks for the body. He identifies himself as a follower of Christ. And so he rolls a stone in front of the rock, and that's what happened on Friday. And then today we celebrate those ladies coming along, Mary and her friends. And so today we celebrate, and so I simply have two things to tell you this morning. The first is that the empty cross speaks of forgiveness. The empty cross means my total surrender. It means my price is paid. It speaks of total forgiveness, but it also points to you and I taking up our crosses. Because Jesus said to those disciples, unless you take up your cross, I love it. Yes, we follow Jesus, but he says you've got a cross to carry. And maybe your cross is pain. Maybe your cross is disappointment. Maybe your cross is just identifying with Jesus and not your mates. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's other things that you've chosen. And Jesus says, no, you've got a cross to take up. You take that cross, then you can follow me. Otherwise, he says, you can have no part of the kingdom of heaven. Amazing. The crucifix reminds us of his suffering. The empty cross reminds us of his resurrection. Proof positive. And you might be saying there's all sorts. If you have a look with the stats and what's going on in the culture today, you might be one of those that doubts what the Bible says. Crucified, yes. Resurrected, that's a bit of a tall story. That's stretching the truth a little bit. You know, the best part is we have factual evidence. By non-Christians. They decided that post, what do you call it? A squad, there's a better word, I forget, of Roman soldiers. They were the best soldiers in the world, the superpower. They posted them in front of the tomb because they thought if someone comes and steals the body, then those sneaky Christians will say he rose from the dead. So even the unbelievers worked in our favor because they made sure, historically proven evidence, that Jesus didn't sneak out the back door. There was no trap door. There was no loophole. Hey, comes along. And so I take up my cross. The empty cross proclaims his resurrection. Someone said it this morning already, but I want to remind us, it's not the amount of suffering that brings us forgiveness. If you have watched that crucifix, Passion of Christ or something like that, I know some people, it's so gory. I want to say a lot was made of his suffering because it's true. But it wasn't the amount of suffering. If he just hurt a little bit, maybe just a few people would have got forgiven. No, it's not the amount of pain. It's not the amount of blood. It's the truth of this, that his sacrifice in my place, the fancy word is vicarious sacrifice. You put that in your Easter lunch today, you will be very impressed. I'm telling you. Okay? Will you just do some vicarious carving on the Easter, the Easter roast if you're having one? Okay? Would you vicariously make me a cup of coffee? Okay? Your job in my place. That's all it means. Jesus, I should have gone to the cross because I was guilty. And I said he went vicariously in my place. So that Sunday, with the proof, the celebration that we make today is because he rose again. Death couldn't hold and move summits. A.W. Tozer said, the cross has been the end of a life and the beginning of a life. The life that ended there was a life of sin and slavery. And the life that began there is a life of holiness and spiritual freedom. The empty cross speaks of what it cost the Father to give us freedom from sin so that we would be reunited with him. How loathsome our sin is. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, "There nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven among men by which we may be saved." I don't know what you've tried. I don't know what name you've tried. I want to say to you this morning, there's only one name that has an Easter attached to it. And that's what we celebrate this morning. The cross represents doom for sin and hope for sinners. It condemns sin and it cleanses souls. The cross is where Jesus was crucified in our place, where Christ brings resurrection life to mankind. The blood-stained cross is gruesome to some, but the empty cross is full of hope. So what is the ultimate victory of the cross? That it could not hold the Savior of the world who triumphed over sin and death, winning salvation for mankind. The cross is empty today. That's what we celebrate. And the not only is the cross empty, oh, they got it, they did the good job, they killed him, they put him in a grave, but the grave is empty too. How cool is that? Yeah, because you could say, oh yeah, the cross is empty, good, because they took him down. We read that, it's in the history. Didn't say like that, right? The resurrection story of Jesus Christ is what gives meaning and power to the cross. Sunday is what makes Friday meaningful. Sunday gives power to Friday. Otherwise, we would all just be mourning and unhappy, and it would be like mourning any historic figure. Pick your choice. Whoever your great hero of history is, oh, this is the day we celebrate. Maybe the death of a loved one when it comes to that painful anniversary. Yeah, but Jesus is different because of Sunday. Billy Graham said, what a failure Christianity would be if it could not carry our hopes beyond the coldness and the depth of the grave. You see, the resurrection means the salvation of our souls. One more. Tozer said this, in every Christian's heart, there is a cross and a throne. And the Christian is on that throne until he puts himself on the cross. And if he refuses the cross, then he remains on the throne. We love the cross because it frees me from my guilt. We need to embrace his throne. He is the king who sits on his throne. The empty cross reminds us that we cannot avoid suffering and death. The empty cross is a sign of hope. It tells us of the new life of God. It surprises us and it comes at us at a moment we cannot expect. It reminds us that the experiences of pain and grief and dying are suffused with the presence of Christ, the one who was crucified and is now risen. The resurrection empowers faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder if you sang the song like I did when I was a little boy. Maybe at school, maybe you went to a church where they sang these songs. A man called Isaac Watts wrote this. He said, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and I pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast. Save in the death of Christ, my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. You see, the man on the cross is facing one direction. He's not distracted. He can't go to the left. He can't go to the right. He can't go backwards. He has no further plans of his own. The second thing, and I'll finish. The empty grave speaks about our future. The empty cross speaks of our forgiveness. The empty grave speaks of our future. The tomb of Jesus remained empty as a symbol that life outlasts the grave. We've spoken about this over the last while if you've been around. In other words, the empty cave promises forever. The crucifix is a symbol of Good Friday. But the image of the empty tomb is what speaks more directly of Easter and resurrection, what gives us hope. Romans chapter 6, verse 8, it says, and since we died with Christ, well done, maybe, we know that we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. Not just so that we could have Easter eggs. But now he lives. That's important. But now he lives. And he lives for the glory of God. The empty cross speaks of forgiveness. The empty grave speaks of our future. As James read on Friday, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 8, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that's saints, remember, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of heavenly realms. Paul prays that the power that raised Jesus from the dead would live in us, that we could understand what he's given us, this glorious inheritance in his holy people. Friends, I've been so stirred and excited for Sunday that we would celebrate alive. Alive with Christ. Alive in him. Alive because my sins are forgiven. Alive because the cross is empty. Alive because the grave is empty. I'm so glad. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, then you have the opportunity to receive what I've been talking about this morning. Today could be your day. Friday we saw people born again. Today could be your day. I would encourage you, don't leave it. So God's speaking to you. If he's speaking to you, don't put it off till another day. Let today be your day. If you are born again, man, I want to ask you this morning, and this is the thing that's kept me up, stirred me the last week. Put it this way. Martin Luther King Jr. said, there are some things so dear, some things so precious, some things so eternally true that they are worth dying for. And I submit to you that if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live. We began with Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. And after the cross, sat down, resurrected, sat down at the right hand of the Father, complete work. Jesus has something that caused his life to be different. You might say, oh, but that's fine, Craig. Jesus is God. He doesn't count. I want to say to you, he was man too, just like you and I, the Bible says. And I would love to ask you this morning, is there something that causes you to go through the suffering of the cross? Is there something that we are, yes, we're alive to Christ. We've been rescued from our sins. Great, I'm going to heaven. Fantastic. But man, between now and then, there better be something that keeps my heart ticking. Jesus didn't save us just to put us in heaven one day. I remember listening to a 15-year-old preacher at a different church. And he asked this question. He says, why doesn't Jesus just save us and then kill us? Forgive me with the language. Why does he save us and then leave us on earth, for goodness sakes? It would be so much easier if he just saved us and took us straight to heaven. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe not. If you're single, probably not. You know what I mean? What's going on, Jesus? Is there a plan? I want to ask you, if you're a Christian this morning, if you're born again, if you don't have something that will take you to picking up your cross, yes, the love for Jesus and wanting to serve him, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, I want to do your will, not my will, your will. But man, there's got to be something that gets us up in the morning. There's got to get us, have got to be something that gets us fighting traffic with a smile on our face. There's got to be something that makes our tough weeks worthwhile. There's got to be something that causes me not just to be saved from my sin, but to be alive with Christ. There's got to be something that's bigger than just coming to church and singing some songs. I come to church to sing songs because there's something in me that keeps me going. There's a scorn in me that makes everything, putting up with the stuff that we have to go through, well worth it, because there is a fire inside here that comes from being alive with Christ. I've got stuff to do. And as long as he leaves me here, man, I'm busy doing just that.
Amen.
I'm not time for playing games. The urgency of a life that's lived well. I want to ask you, if you are born again, do you have something like that? Is Easter just something we celebrate once a year, or does it change my life?
Yeah, sure. A few things planned for afterwards, but I almost don't want you to forget that. Can I maybe let me start with this? we record these messages, and sometimes it works out well and we get them online. Today's message will be podcast this week. They are online on YouTube. If you want these slides, please just email the office of things at hello@gracecalf.com or on our website, just click that chat button and we'll get them to you. We can always revisit this truth. When you're at the office, driving down somewhere, it's just still real, still true there. So please feel free to get in touch, re-listen to it again, because this truth is available for you and I consistently for eternity. Amen? Good stuff. So, now we can move on. Well, hopefully you're okay with Easter eggs at church, because... I'm pretty sure Jesus would have had an Easter egg hunt for the kids. I'm just saying. Because he did say all of them come to me. And when they were with him, he would have told them about what he did. This is just me. I don't need to record this. Just as friends. So we had Friday, we had a movie night, which was incredible. It's one of our outreaches where we get to reach the community. And I say this jokingly because I'm like, when we're saved, we come into a family. And if you just look at your family, I'm pretty sure you just don't pray 24/7. You do life together. You visit each other. You share meals together. You do things together. Yeah? And this is what Jesus invites us to, is to family. When things are a bit rough, there's someone you can call and be like, hey, you know, we send meals together. We like family, right? So this is why we host are sitting here so that they can hear about this Jesus that you and I already know about. So Friday we had a movie night. It was amazing. We watched Elemental, which is really cool. I didn't really do... Anyway, that's about it. And then what after Friday? You see my English again. Saturday had a fun run. I didn't run as well. I just watched the course. But we have gifts for guys who really ran really well. The first one is 2.5Ks, first guy to arrive, and that was Lucas. Then you can grab his first 25, I think. And then we had something, you could do whatever, you could walk it, you could just whatever. He was tired after the first one, so, but he came first, so well done. First one on a bike was Quermis. Quermis. And then this one, I feel like is a cheat code. Like, this is a proper cheat code. First dog back. Like, I know the dog is not going to get this, so I'm just saying, Kev, you guys, you must tell me okay. First dog back was with Cam and Bron. And then we have First Lady back, which was Helda at 29.42 years. And then to the 5K, not 2.5K. I'm just saying, you must give heart to the 5K guys, just by the way. They doubled you. And then the ultimate, what is that? Oh, I almost forgot. The first pram. First pram back. Oratile. It was a tag team, but who crossed? There we go. No. I'm going to tell her. Okay, mother's room. Oratile, your prize. Hey, you came close second. You were just crossed the line just before. I know you guys walked together. But first is first. And then the ultimate, this category was 5Ks. Okay, so we give him for 5Ks. He just added extra, doubled it, and did 10 kilometers. But he was the ultimate prize. 5Ks at 20.23. Jonathan! The ultimate prize. You get the winner. What's on either? But I announced it, so you can just feel it. Thank you.
Awesome. So, again, youth, we're doing an Easter egg hunt together, the guys at the bottom. Please just join us up in front. And I hope you're okay with us having fun at church a little bit. Like, yeah. Jump on our website, grab the slides. On our podcast, you can listen to the message links. Thank you so much for coming. We love you. If you need prayer, we will be up in front as well. Enjoy the afternoon. And again, we're pickled fish. Take care. God bless.